Hi, Sophie.
Hi, Sin.
Hi, everyone. And welcome to the Snack Covenant, episode 252. What, Where, Why of the Elden Ring trailer. Five characters. And today we're going to talk about five characters that we picked.
Well, no, we didn't pick them. You picked them and you won't tell me what they are. And I'm not sure I could name five characters from the Elden Ring trailer, so...
But I did give them names.
Yeah, but they weren't the names that tell... They disappeared.
What, Where, Why is the series we created?
Using we again.
That was meant to be a quick and easy lore for each enemy of Bloodborne. And we expanded that concept to other things that we cover.
Yeah.
So the reason we're only going to talk about five characters today is to have a quick, short, easy episode that is easy to record and easy to edit. And if you happen to like this and would like us to analyze more characters from the trailer, let us know which characters you'd like to hear us talk about below. So, Sophie.
Yes, Sin.
The five characters we will discuss today are player character, Chanelotalot, Pretty Princess, Emil,
right.
Scorpion Tart.
I know who that one is.
But before we start the actual characters, we have to talk a bit about the Elden Ring lore available to us so that people can understand our outline.
Right.
So, what we know from the official website is that we find ourselves in a land called the Lands Between.
Right.
And we know that we will traverse the world on foot, horseback, alone, or in line with other people. We'll visit grassy plains, suffocating swamps, spiraling mountains, foreboding castles. Is that a word, foreboding? Did I say it correct?
Yes.
Thank you. And other sides of Ronda on a scale never seen before from a software title.
Isn't it from a From Software title?
What did I say?
You said from a software title, implying it's literally the largest game ever made. Bold statement. Fuck you, No Man's Sky.
Sophie.
Yes, Sin.
So that gets us into the game's world headspace. But now...
Headspace of the world. Okay. Okay, yep.
But now, let's get into the headspace of the lore. There's an official prologue available on the same website.
Right.
And could you please read it out in one of your poetic voices?
The Golden Order has been broken. Rise, tarnished, and be guided by grace to brandish the power of the Elden Ring and become an Elden Lord in the Lands Between. In the Lands Between, ruled by Queen Marika the Eternal, the Elden Ring, the source of the Erd Tree, has been shattered. Marika's offspring, demigods all, claimed the shards of the Elden Ring, known as the Great Runes, and the mad taint of their newfound strength triggered a war. The Shattering. A war that meant abandonment by the greater will. And now the guidance of grace will be brought to the Tarnished, who were spurned by the grace of gold and exiled from the Lands Between. Ye dead who yet live, your grace long lost, follow the path to the Lands Between, beyond the foggy sea, to stand before the Elden Ring, and become the Elden Lord.
Thank you. And our friend Loki, who's been on the podcast many a time, looked at the Japanese text for that and came up with his own translation.
And could you please read that translation in another dramatic voice?
In the interspace land, where the Eternal Queen Marika has ruled, the Elden Ring, which is the source of the Golden Tree, has broken. The children descending from Marika, the demigods, grabbed a hold of the great runes, which are fragments of the Elden Ring, went mad with their power, became warped, caused the Shattering War, and were forsaken by the Great Will. And now, blessed guidance is brought to the Tarnished whose golden blessing once vanished from sight and who were driven out from the interspace land. Dead ones liking the blessing and unable to die, follow the guidance, head for the interspace land, past the Sea of Fog, go see the Elden Ring, and then become the Elden King. I like go see the Elden Ring. It's like a tourist trap. Yeah, we're heading to the interspace lands. I go to see the Elden Ring. It's just tourists taking photos, the same angle every time, and the people like just... Elden Ring postcards. All the stores around there have like Elden Ring in the name. I apologize.
Thank you, Sophie.
That's all right.
So I spoke to Loki yesterday.
Right.
And the term for like interspace / gaps is the same term used for things betwixt.
Betwixt is a word. You don't have to do air quotes.
I'm going to make a confession.
Yes.
I didn't know betwixt.
That's okay. It's like an old, like ye oldie word. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why am I bringing this up, Sophie?
It's because we said that there should be more like things from Dark Souls 2 in Elden Ring. And it turns out that they took the word between. So I'd like to bring up something here as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that the leaked trailer we saw referred to the Riftlands. I think the Riftlands is the old name for the... What are they called? The lands in between? Unless this is written by like two different teams. Like, this talks about the lands between beyond the foggy sea.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the trailer that we saw talked about the Riftlands beyond the Sea of Fog. And that's two sort of key things that have been worded differently, so I don't know if they've officially changed it, or it's just that the Bandai Namco website is writing it differently. But the fact that the lands between is capitalized makes me think that's the name they're going with.
That's a really good point. Thank you, Sophie.
So something I wanted to bring up here, similar to, I guess, like the Riftland and Sea of Fog thing, is that in that translation, the English is Erd Tree. Like, it's literally called the Erd Tree. And the Japanese is Golden Tree. This would be a situation, if this were any of the previous games, where we'd be like, oh, Erd Tree is just the way they stylized Golden Tree. But the Elden Ring world building was done by George R. R. Martin. Presumably in English. So we might be in a situation that's going to keep cropping up where the English script is going to use different terminology for something in the Japanese script, but they might actually be using George R. R. Martin's terms for it rather than a translation of the Japanese term for it. So we're going to be in this situation where it's like parts of this script are going to have gone from English to Japanese and then possibly back to English again, or alternatively from English to Japanese and then subbing in like English when they know it's a piece of terminology. We haven't really encountered that.
It's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Sophie, so one last thing.
Yes, Sin.
Could you just summarize the parts you think are important from what we know so far?
So the like key points of the prologue that we've been given, which is pretty concise, is that the main deity is called Queen Marika the Eternal. The demigods are her children. And the demigods claimed the shards of something that is called the Elden Ring. The Elden Ring, we are kind of unsure what exactly it is. It looks like it could be a design, or just like some sort of, like, it looks like a rune. Like this runic design is sort of holding everything together. That Elden Ring is also the source of the big glowing tree that we see in the trailer. And all her children claimed different parts of the ring. Those parts are called the Great Runes. The Great Runes gave them power, and they went mad with power and went to war with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that war was called the Shattering, and that apparently led to them sort of like the lands became like they were abandoned by God, basically. They did something wrong, and sort of like the grace of God has left them.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says, like, the grace has been brought to the tarnished. And I don't quite understand, like, there doesn't seem to be a cause and effect thing listed, so I don't know if what's happened is the gods couldn't be trusted, so this word just calls it the greater will. The gods couldn't be trusted with the power, so the greater will is looking elsewhere and drawing other people there to say you are worthy and the gods are not.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's just that, like, we go there to seek the Elden Ring for some reason, like, it's not, there's no cause and effect. I do like the idea that basically, like, it says the guidance of grace will be brought to the tarnished, which makes me think it is kind of what I said before, that, like, when the gods went to war, that sort of, like, pissed off whatever this guidance is. It may even just be a natural force. And then the world was just like, okay, the gods can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
The gods are squabbling with each other. They don't deserve their power. So we're going to start calling other people to where the gods are to usurp their power and basically, like, do their job for them. That's sort of what it seems like to me. And our character is undead. Like Loki said, the Japanese word for it is like, okay, you're undead. But the English just calls it ye dead who yet live. But yeah, you're undead like all the other ones. And our purpose is to become an Elden Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think a lot of the last half of Dark Souls, where it's about getting the Lord souls back together.
Yeah,
so it seems like it's that. Instead of, like, become the Lord of Cinder, it's become the Elden Lord. We don't quite know what Elden Lord means.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you might think, okay, Elden Lord means you become, like, super powerful or something like that, but again, like they kind of did this in Dark Souls, you become the Lord of Cinder, but it means sacrificing yourself to sort of burn up and keep this flame going. So exactly what our goal is, we're not sure. If it's anything like the previous ones, this will be ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be told to become an Elden Lord, but no one will specify what that means.
I hope Elden Lord means you just put a whole lot of arms on yourself.
I genuinely am a little, like, disappointed that our player character doesn't seem to be able to equip extra arms.
Well, we don't know yet.
We don't know yet, but it feels like something that if he could do it, we would have seen by now.
Not necessarily, because if this is part of this twist that the game has,
yeah,
it's a good thing that they don't reveal it.
Yeah, yeah. One other thing we should say about the website and about what Bandai Namco have said,
mm-hmm,
is that they explicitly said they want to develop further the story of Elden Ring and the world of Elden Ring outside of the game. This is a stated, like, thing they want to do. So that says to me that, like, this is not going to have a definitive conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I compared it to Dark Souls, and, like, Dark Souls is a game that, like, making a sequel to it is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way it ends, is, like, you've sort of written yourself into a corner, and I don't think they thought they were going to do a sequel when they did it. So, like, I assume this is going to end in a way that's, like, deliberately leaving it open. It may even be like Elder Scrolls, where, like, there's just different parts of the world. So, like, this is the Riftlands or the Lands in Between or whatever, and they can do another Elden Ring game that is set, like, at some other continent.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point, because Dark Souls 1 seems to be a self-contained story.
Yeah.
Just like Bloodborne, it's very awesome, but you don't need any more games to continue the story. And I hope they learned from their previous entries and that they're leaving a lot of things open so that they can make more sequels, books, Netflix TV show.
The leaked trailer did straight up call it a franchise, so...
There we go.
Yeah.
And earlier, when you were talking about the lore, you mentioned guidance.
You're smiling.
Was it horsefish guidance?
Hi, Sophie here. When Ludwig the Holy Blade first held the holy moonlight sword, he saw within his mind the guidance rune. When Sin held that same sword many, many years later, she, having a much higher IQ, saw the horsefish rune. The horsefish rune is identical to the guidance rune in every respect, save that it is being described by someone who is having a brain fart and has forgotten the word seahorse. Please keep in mind that horsefish is the colloquial name for fish of the Congiopodidae family. Now back to the podcast.
So now, let's move on to the characters we're going to talk about today.
Okay.
The first character we're talking about is the player character.
Wow.
And as per usual... What?
What do they look like? It's up to you in the character creator.
And for those who have been watching us for a while, and the reason why you're mocking me is because we do in fact have an angelic outline with us. Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, Sid. I'm kind of interested in what the character creator options give us, because I have heard that, like, we are also descendants of Marika, like our character. And apparently, like, all the gods have, like, some... We talked about this before, but, like, apparently all of the gods have some kind of physical trait that marks them out as, like, descendants of someone. So, like, an example that we keep bringing up is the red hair. We've seen two characters with very distinctive red hair, and apparently that's because they're related. So I'm wondering if... when we create a character, we can pick who we're descended from, and that might alter our physical appearance somehow. Like, I also heard gold eyes was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, this sort of gold thing is very important to Elden Ring, from what we can tell, so I'm wondering if, like, you know, golden eyes, like, if we pick a certain gold, we get golden eyes, you pick another gold, we get, like, a certain kind of hair, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And speaking of hair, when they showed our player character, one of the looks they showed off more often had that white hair.
Do you think that is their hair, or do you think that's the helmet?
Well, that was my question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because in Bloodborne, there's actually a Kynehurst thing that adds hair to you, right?
Yeah, yeah. I guess, like, the thing about the hair is it does actually match the armor. But it's also, it's entirely possible it is, like, it is just their hair.
Mm-hmm. So what I did is I took some screenshots of the player character wearing certain outfits.
Yeah.
I don't think I got them all because everything moves really fast in the trailer, but I got a few.
Okay.
And we're going to look through those outfits and just comment on them and talk about how we feel about them.
Okay.
So the first outfit... is the one we just talked about that comes up the more often.
Yeah.
And I am really loving the helmet. It's very unique. It looks like you have a Zoro thing on your eyes, and then, I guess, chainmail covering your jaw and stuff, which is important, Sophie, because I've been playing Batman Asylum.
Yeah.
And I keep telling the bad guys, shoot him in the chin.
Right. This helmet, I think, is based on, like, a Norman helmet.
Mm-hmm.
I know a little bit about this because when I was in college, I had to make a series of themed paper planes for an Adobe Illustrator assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And I based them all on different medieval helmets.
Mm-hmm.
So that one with the, like, the nose guard and the the chains coming down, I think that is it's not literally one, but it looks like that's the basis. It's like that Norman helmet design.
That's so cool.
What's common to all of the armor, so we may as well talk about it now, mm-hmm. is that it doesn't look particularly heavy.
No, it doesn't.
This looks like the lower end of like medium weight armor in Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing comparable to like Havel or Tarkus in this. It's all like, presumably it's also quite thin. And I think that is tied to the character having a jump button.
Mm.
You could not jump in heavy armor.
So do you think there is heavy armor in the game, but once you put it on, it's impossible for you to do certain moves in it?
Maybe, but also like, it looks like they've designed the bosses in ways where they expect you to jump.
Okay.
So like, you have a shield, which presumably means you can block. But like, considering we didn't see any heavy armor really,
mm-hmm.
and also because it's about traveling over like a long distance,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be wandering and wandering and wandering, so it sort of makes sense that you're wearing something lighter than you would in Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm. Because you'll get sweaty, you'll get tired.
Well, no, but also just like traversal itself. Like if you can jump, if you can run a lot and jump a lot as a means of traversing the environment,
mm-hmm.
it would make sense for it to be light.
Do you think we have stamina in this game?
I assume we have stamina.
Maybe we have like sword stamina, but not run stamina?
Maybe.
But then we have a horse.
Yeah.
And the horse is interesting because it looks like you can just summon it anytime, at least outdoors.
Yeah.
You just whistle, it appears. You whistle, it disappears, and you jump straight into combat.
And by appear, it literally appears. You're summoning a horse. Do you think that's actually going to be explained with the summoning cube thing?
I didn't think of that, but that's really cool.
Yeah. Because, like, one other thing I heard is that, like, it's not just about summoning other players. You summon, basically, monsters to fight with you. And it's not necessarily that, like, you go to an area, there's NPC summon signs. You can go full, like Digimon. And they're not necessarily, like, tied to areas. It's that you get your own sort of, like, helper monsters that you can kind of raise and customize. Like, you can change how they're equipped. I do know that, like, allegedly, somewhere out there, there's screenshots of the character fighting alongside the monsters, and the monsters there, like, in two of them, it's clearly the same body type, but they have different gear. So I'm wondering if the horse is tied to that, and, like, you just have power over these, like, creatures. Along with the horse, yeah.
So do you generally like the idea of characters summoning a pet or a companion or whatever to fight alongside them?
That's something that, like, when we were talking about Dark Souls 2, mm-hmm. Dark Souls 2 is a game that has a lot of offline content. There's literally content that is exclusive to being offline. A lot of people mm-hmm. don't see it by virtue of being online by default. So I like the idea of, like, just adding stuff for if you happen to be offline, both, like, maybe if you don't want to be online, if you don't have an internet connection that works, or, like, just future-proofing it because the server isn't going to be around forever. I really like the idea of there being that system because it means, like, you're not reliant on other people necessarily. You could just have your little cadre of, like, helper monsters with you.
Aww. That's a good point, but that's not why I was asking you.
Oh. Why were you asking me?
Why do you think?
You're coquettishly playing with your hair, and I don't know what I'm supposed to take from this.
People who understand certain policies that this podcast abides by will understand why I ask that.
I still don't understand, because they're just babies. Hi, Sophie here. If you're sick of these interruptions, imagine how sick I am of recording them. Reborn is an anime about mafia babies that Sin won't shut the fuck up about. There's some videos on the channel of us discussing them, but nobody watches them. Back to the podcast.
And the armor we're talking about, it also has red cloth around your waist. And I find this mix of metal and cloth really interesting. And I also think it looks a little bit like the Soul of Cinder outfit.
I guess like it makes me think of like Gale's outfit, because that's the metal and red. And also, like, not necessarily the way it looks, but if you think about Dark Souls 3, it's got stuff like the Abyss Watcher set that's like, this is armor, but you're supposed to move very fast in it.
That's true, yeah.
So it looks like it's going in that direction.
Speaking of the Abyss Watcher set, so you know in Elden Ring, the final shot where it says, like, Elden Ring and the date? There's someone who's, like, kneeling with a sword?
Yeah.
That reminded me of a mix of the Abyss Watcher set, as well as that signature Soul of Cinder pose that we see.
The signature pose that's the removed bonfire creation mechanic.
Oh my god, is it?
Yeah, that's this is the thing. The whole, like, Dark Souls 3 identity through that logo is, like, someone who's not Soul of Cinder wearing the Soul of Cinder armor. Doing the bonfire creation that you can't do anymore.
Mm-hmm. So you know how we were analyzing the trailer in our previous podcast? And I was saying how I hope they take all the good things from all the previous Souls games and do them better, or take the cut stuff that didn't work out, put them here, do them super well.
Yeah.
I feel like this is leaning in that direction.
Okay.
Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, Sam.
So the other outfit I saw was the blue one.
Yeah.
Where the character was fighting a whole bunch of people. And I think at some point you said it looks like a Metal Gear outfit.
This is the, I assume it's like the Thief or Wander or whatever equivalent, like the Dex build. Mm-hmm. And they have this like headband that goes over one of their eyes, and it makes them look like Raiden from Metal Gear Rising. But yeah, this is really light too. Like it's basically like a robe with an armored vest.
Mm-hmm. And the previous character, we saw them take out a sword. It was big, but it wasn't like a great sword or anything. And this sword looks pretty light as well.
Yeah.
So it goes back to the idea you were mentioning, how they're light on their feet.
Yeah.
So the next image is the Tesseract.
Yep.
And there's a human attached to it.
Yep.
And I really like their cape, because it looks like it's made out of a potato bag. And I have dresses that are not literally potato bags, but they're like really comfy, they're really big, and they have giant pockets, and right. I can put all my stuff in the pockets, and I love it. So yeah. I love this cape. I hope this cape has pockets.
How do you think the pockets will factor into gameplay? Like additional arrows or something?
No, like a place for your Tesseract, a place for all your Elden Rings.
So if you don't have that cape, you keep dropping things.
Well, you have to hold them in your hands. So when a bad guy comes up, you're like, oh, wait a minute, I have to put it on the floor. So you put it somewhere where they won't break.
Right.
And you're like, okay, I'm ready.
Okay. I relate to this problem having recently refreshed my wardrobe.
Yeah.
I have a lot of tote bags.
Yeah, that's why there's this meme. Whenever you wear a dress with pockets, you show it off, and you're like, look, it has pockets, but it's a real problem.
It's a joke that hides a very real issue.
Yes. That's why I love the potato dresses. I have 5 of them in 5 different colors. So that if I need to wear, like, all of them to work for a week, I can.
Okay.
Another picture is the Phantoms.
Right.
And the Phantom in the back has like a fancy hat.
Yeah, it's like a... I have no idea what they're called, but it's the hat I associate with like princesses.
Yeah. So that's really cool. So, like in this 2-minute trailer, They inserted a lot of looks, and I respect that.
Yeah.
It's like a whole fashion show. It's amazing.
Yeah, and the armor that we're talking about now, it's, I guess it looks kind of like what the Herald wears. Like, it's a common, like, design that they use where it's, like, heavy armor with, like, a white cape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next screenshot is pretty cool. It's a dragon catching a light bulb and then throwing it at you.
Well, no, what's interesting about that is that, like, the lightning bolt comes down looking like a lightning bolt, and then when the dragon grabs it, it becomes a fork. But only when the dragon grabs it.
Oh my god, I did not notice that. What I thought was like, whoa, is because Gwyn used lightning to defeat the dragons, right? And here dragons are using lightning to defeat whoever.
Yeah.
Is this Dragon Gwyn? Hey Google, well, stop.
Well, something
Hey Google,
that's been,
stop.
Something that's
sorry.
Been pointed out
sorry,
by
sorry,
other people.
Sorry, sorry, sorry. Hey Google, stop.
Hi, Sophie here. Sin neglects to turn her Google off pre-recording, meaning that it starts picking up her weird angry ranting as voice commands. We really should double-check that it's turned off, but after 3 years of increasingly incoherent content, we're just glad anyone's listening at all. Back to the podcast. Something a lot of people have brought up is that the dragon has, like, a gap in its torso. Not like a wound, but like something that's opening up and closing. So, there's something, like, about the dragons. Also, like, these dragons are very, like, it's a very humanoid-looking dragon.
Mm-hmm.
When you said, is this dragon Gwyn, right?
Yeah.
So, in Great Mazinger...
What is that?
It's an anime, right?
Okay.
Okay, it's a sequel to Mazinger. When Dr. Hell, like, loses in Mazinger, he puts his head inside a giant robot, so it's like a robot with his head in the torso. Do you think the hole in the dragon has Gwyn's head in it?
Oh my god, and the dragon is a mecha.
Yeah.
Sophie, we created a 24 grid Elden Ring bingo.
Yes.
And mechas were in there.
Wasn't that when we designed our Elden Ring levels? You had a robot on the moon?
Oh my god, you're right. Sorry, I got confused. Yeah. It's actually when we designed Elden Ring.
Yeah, we put a lot of effort into Elden Ring, and I'm glad it's finally being shown off in this trailer.
Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, Sin.
And the outfit we're wearing in this screenshot, when I first saw it, I just thought classic Dark Souls set.
Yeah.
I really like the colors. It's like a mix of blue and gold, maybe? It's a little hard to see.
Yeah.
But, Sophie.
Yes?
If you look at my phone cover, which color is it?
Oh my god, it's gold and blue!
OMG! You know how we talked earlier about Elden Ring being more, like, open and having other things to complete the story?
Yeah.
Elden Ring phone covers.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, do they have phones in Elden Ring?
I'm pretty sure they do. How else are they going to communicate across this vast terrain?
That's a plot point in Final Fantasy VII.
Oh yeah?
You get a mobile phone in the game. That's how you change party members.
That's amazing.
I just like how it's like, this cosmic cube will allow you to contact people all over the world. I'm like, isn't that just a phone? Like, it's just like something that it seemed incredible, I'm sure, like, at the time. It's like, my god, I can talk to anyone anywhere. And it's like, oh, we all have those in our pockets. Old people are annoyed we don't get off them. Is that going to be a thing in Elden Ring? Like, the Queen Marika the Eternals? Like, oh, the Tarnished always on that damn cube.
That would be so cool. So you have the cube, right? But yeah. Each side does something different.
Yeah.
So one is a screen where you, like, call people. The other side is a dedicated vault shelter thing. And then,
right.
You know, one side is to serve the net. And then one side is for the snack covenant.
I don't think so. I think we're banned from going anywhere near Elden Ring.
Thank you, Sophie. And we see this set again when the giant bearded Cthulhu chariot comes at us. And in that picture, we actually have a spear and a shield.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, like, there are a few shields in the trailer that the characters are using. So I'm thinking, like, we've talked about how, like, the combat's gotten faster and faster over the successive iterations. Mm-hmm. To the point where, like, Sekiro, there is no shield, it's only blocking. Mm-hmm. We can see in this that we're fairly sure they've brought over the crouch stealth and the jump from Sekiro into Elden Ring. So that makes me wonder if, like, are they trying to, like, sort of meet it halfway with the Souls series by saying, like, you'll have different equipment, you'll be able to block, you'll have a shield, but you're still going to have to mostly dodge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the primary method of avoiding damage will literally be to avoid damage, it won't be to tank it.
That's a really interesting point. The next screenshot here, I added it because we can see the cape, and there's some sort of a symbol on it.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of runic designs in Elden Ring. I assume that's the symbol of one of the gods or one of the lands.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And it's in the arena where we fight Elden Ring Ludwig. And it looks like the same arena that's in sort of a stasis.
Yeah. This makes me think of the way that, like, there's this recurring motif of things shattering and breaking. Because, like, this room, when we see it, like, it's shattered and broken, but the pieces of it seem to be suspended in the air. Almost like there's no gravity. You can see out the window there are dragons. You also see the dragons circling the Erd Tree. So I'm wondering if, like, bits and pieces of it are actually being pulled toward the Erd Tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, do you think the entirety of the game is in sort of a stasis being pulled somewhere? Or it's just specific areas or places that are in the stasis?
It might actually be your proximity to the Erd Tree.
Mm-hmm.
Because that castle that we... like, half the trailer basically was the one castle, if you sort of broke it down. And that castle, for what we can see, it's opposite the Erd Tree. It's really far away. It's at the end of one of those really long bridges. Whereas this one, like, if that's where I think it is, the Erd Tree should be behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if it was Miyazaki or Martin that added this sort of shattered part, but, like, remember, like, Dark Souls 3? The whole plot was, like, everything is being pulled toward Lothric?
Yeah.
And when you get to the dreg heap in the future, it's like the world has twisted and sort of, like, been pulled. Like, it's like a black hole. Everything's being pulled toward where the ring is.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking a similar thing as well.
Yeah.
And in our Discord, people were actually talking about how the tree casts light, you know? And maybe the rays are illuminating specific areas that are of importance?
Maybe.
So now I'm wondering, what if the rays are illuminating the areas that are in stasis, or the opposite, or I don't know?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Now, the next scene is the one that's usually accompanied by "I wish that was me."
God, I wish that were me.
Could you please describe what we're seeing?
It's the bionic Valkyrie impaling the knight from Demon Souls.
And the next one is us getting burned by a dragon.
Yeah.
And this one's interesting because the player seems to be holding Thor's hammer.
See, like, I thought the interesting thing about that was that it doesn't look like everything else we've seen is actually, like, armor. Although, like, it could just be this is very, very light and doesn't impede your stamina at all. But it doesn't look like it offers much protection. Compared to the others, it's out of, like, it's sort of out of sync with them.
Speaking of Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
Do you know how it has a short handle?
Yeah.
Did you know that was a total accident?
Elaborate, Sin.
Well, basically, Loki played a trick on Thor's wife and, like, shaved her head or something.
Yeah.
And Thor was, like, really mad, and Loki had to find a way to like make things right. And he organized this whole convoluted contest.
Us talking about Norse mythology is going to be so confusing because we know two people called Loki and Asa.
Long story short, a hammer was gifted to Thor.
Yeah.
But because Loki was trying to interfere with the hammer's production,
right,
it didn't turn out as planned.
Yeah.
And the handle was too short.
And then the dwarves were like, no, it's working as intended.
But the short handle made it such an iconic hammer.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I don't know where I was going with this, but I just wanted to share with you that I'm doing research on mythology.
Okay. Do we want to bring up the Celtic king with the metal arm?
I didn't get that far in my studies yet. Could you please elaborate?
We talked about this like 2 years ago when we saw the first episode trailer. But like everyone was saying prior to this, oh, Norse. It's the Norse game. Then I saw that the Bionic Valkyrie, right? And the first thing about her is like, we're calling her a Valkyrie, but the design on her cape, it's like a Celtic knot. And like that combined with like the flowing red hair and everything, it did make me think more. I know Norse people can have red hair, but like it did make me think, oh, this seems way more like Celtic looking than it does. And like the world and everything that we saw, it didn't really say like Viking to me. Like the imagery they were using, like the Celtic knot design, and then like the giant having like the boar tusks. Again, I know there are boars in like other places, but like the imagery to me, like it seemed a lot more sort of Celtic looking than it did Norse looking. And there is a Celtic story about a king who loses his arm, and the law is if you lose your arm, you cannot be a king, because the king has to be like have a perfect body. So he has a metal arm made to replace it. And that's immediately what the lady made me think of. And then something that we brought up when we covered the trailer before is that there's a Celtic thing that's a three-eyed giant called Balor with an eye in the middle of his head, and that eye is the source of like this sort of horrible power, so he keeps it closed. And we see these two like bearded giant faces in it that appear to have an indentation in between the two eyes that... it just looks like a circle, but then we also see a CGI sequence of this eye opening. And that eye is completely symmetrical. It's not a left or right eye, which makes me think that is... it's either a Cyclops or it's a Balor thing where, like, that bearded character has that third eye in their head. And most of the time it's closed, but they can open it to, like, do some horrible thing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Interestingly enough, right before the first Elden Ring trailer dropped, my boyfriend made me watch Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind.
Yeah.
And so when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh my god, the girl with the arm!
Oh yeah, yeah. Ash Lake is in it as well.
I didn't remember that part.
You know, then they go to like this like a place that looks exactly like Ash Lake.
Do you remember when you asked me if there are any spiders in Bloodborne?
Yeah.
Yeah, so keep that in mind when you ask me things.
Yeah. Hi, Sophie here. Since Bloodborne questions are so in-depth and so probing that she sometimes loses sight of the bigger picture. Questions like, what are the church giants' hobbies? What do Thumerians eat? And what is Gurman made of? Means she sometimes doesn't consider the big questions, like, does this game have any spiders in it? Well, as experts, we do know the answer, but this episode is about Elden Ring, and we don't want to spoil Bloodborne for people who haven't played it yet. If you'd like to know more, why not check out our playlist, What, Where, Why, Enemies of Bloodborne, and look for the ones that have giant spiders in the thumbnail. Back to the podcast.
So the next screenshot is like one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Because Smoo has a ridiculous soup on his head.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's like, oh no, stay away, my soup bowl is on fire. Why did I put it on my head? So what I really like about the screenshot in terms of equipment is the sword that you see there.
Right.
And I really love the fact that there's cloth around the sword.
Yeah, see, like, I don't know what kind of weapon it is because we don't see the whole thing, mm-hmm. but it makes me think, like, it's probably something very, very long, because mm-hmm. the fact that the base of the blade has stuff wrapped around it makes me think you're not supposed to hit people with that, because mm-hmm. it would blunt. Also, like, the blade itself doesn't appear to get sharp until after that. So it might be similar to the weapon that the blue character had earlier, where it's just, like a very long scimitar or something. Or maybe even like a spear, I don't know, but it doesn't have a very long handle.
Mm-hmm. And now I'm actually looking at Smoke's weapon.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, I wonder what that is on the end. Like a flower?
Well, it's weirdly because it seems to look like, you know, there's that red guy later on he's like a red aura and like stuff growing all over him.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're connected, because you said it looked like a flower, and now I'm wondering, like, is there some sort of, like, parasite plant or, like, a plant kingdom or something where everything's covered in red weed, like War of the Worlds?
Mmm. Mm. Very interesting. Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, Sid.
And the next shot, I think it's the same outfit. But do you know what this reminds me of?
What?
Remember a few years ago, the pants with the writing on the butt were popular?
You know, I actually don't.
Let me find a picture. It would normally say something like juicy.
Right.
I thought of it when I saw this screenshot because it looks like the character has some writing on their butt.
So there's a runic design on the butt of the pants that says like juicy in the language of the gods, is what you're saying.
The armors I've seen so far, they look very, like, gorgeous and beautiful and decorative.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I wouldn't go fighting in these things.
No.
I'd only wear them for special occasions.
Yeah. Maybe that will be, like, the Hollow Inhuman system. It'll be, like, casual and best.
Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, Sam.
So the next screenshot I included because of the character in the back.
Yes.
They seem to be wearing a bag or something over their head.
Yeah, the guy in front of them is wearing a ridiculous oversized Burger King helmet. So I'd be more concerned about what he's wearing. Okay, I'm calling it now. That helmet is going to be a rare drop from that guy.
Okay.
And it's going to be a really obnoxious meme. Everyone you summon is going to be, like, naked apart from that helmet. The other thing, interestingly, about that the Burger King hat is that it's got this, like, blue crystal on the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. The blue crystal must mean something.
Oh my god, Sophie.
Yeah?
So we know that Smoo has a soup plate on his head.
Yeah.
Have you seen those salt crystal lamps?
Oh.
They're made of actual salt.
I had to give a marketing class on them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So maybe this is a salt crystal. So it's like one person has a soup bowl on their head, the other person has some salt on their head, and like everybody gets together and that's how you cook. And then you may ask yourself, Wilson, where are they going to get a stove?
Why, one of those giants covered in candles from Bloodborne. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a giant covered in candles in
this. I feel like it's all coming together. Enemies of Bloodborne is finally paying off.
Do you want me to give you a truncated version of my class on Himalayan salt lamps?
Yes, please.
So a lot of those lamps, the salt is like garbage and doesn't cost anything.
Okay.
But what happens is if they sell them at the price point they're actually worth, no one buys them because they think, why am I wasting money on this hunk of salt? If they up the price, people are like, oh, it must be special salt. And then they buy it.
Are you serious?
Yes. Like, there are certain things that people will only buy if they're priced higher than they're worth. If it's cheaper, they perceive it as being inferior, even though it's the same product.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's true, I will not buy cheap Fallout merchandise.
Yeah. That's a lie, yes you would.
It's true, it's a lie, you got
there
me.
There were fucking bootleg Vault Boy things on eBay, you would be buying them. You'd be on AliExpress buying like half-melted bootleg Vault Boys. Like,
if I didn't think eBay was sketchy and knew how to use it.
How do you not know how to use eBay?
I don't know, I just never did. It's one of those things. I never used it, and I'm just too scared to learn.
Hi, Sophie here. Sin is frightened of using eBay, preferring instead to do all of her online shopping through the Bethesda store. I, on the other hand, spend every day frittering away your Patreon donations on eBay.com thanks to a series of eBay alerts I have set up that tell me every time someone lists a new kind of plastic snail. My most recent acquisition is an antique novelty shampoo bottle from 1973. Back to the podcast. Do you also want to talk about how the character in that screenshot, they're doing a magic thing with their sword?
Yeah.
If this were like Dark Souls, I would be like, oh, that's the magic weapon buff. But it looks a lot like it's just normal from what we've seen, that like some weapons just have this like sort of magic mode they go into. Like we see it with the red skirted one with the sword, where they hold it up and it basically becomes a lightsaber. And the reason, like, that's interesting to me is that they do that in the Ring City.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that, like, this was in development parallel to Ring City.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if, like, some of the things in Ring City were, like, test runs for this. In the same way that, like, things in Artorias of the Abyss were test runs for Bloodborne.
That's a really good question.
So, like, for reference, like, the Ring City has a thing, it's called, I think it's just called the Aquamarine Dagger, that is, like, it's basically a lightsaber. It's a dagger that then, if you do the weapon art, it flips around and, like, a sort of magic blade shoots out. So it has two modes. I'm wondering if these are, like, a weapon art thing, where, like, you have, like, an MP bar that you can use to charge special attacks with weapons, because that's a thing they do a lot in Dark Souls 3.
So kind of like the Holy Moonlight Sword in Bloodborne.
Yeah, yeah.
So the next outfit, I just wanted to include it because it's so gorgeous and glamorous.
Yeah, this is another example of what we mean, where it's like, that's a knight set. It has a knight helmet and gauntlets and everything, but it's mostly just a robe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it does not look thick at all. It looks like very thin, flexible armor that's got some sort of thin plating over it. And very, very ornate, like has jewels and things embedded in it.
I feel like someone from Kindhearts designed this.
Yeah, yeah. Are you going to comment on the magic tennis racket?
I didn't realize it's a magic tennis racket. Please elaborate!
It's someone casting a spell, but like, instills it's either a tennis racket or a lollipop.
I love it.
Other thing actually worth pointing out, I guess, is that, like, we know there's a wizard class in the game because we've seen them in that leaked trailer, but, like, there's an awful lot of just people in armor using magic, which makes me think it's probably going to be a bit more common than, like, this is something that mages do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the next picture, it's from the website.
Yeah.
And I thought this outfit just looked really cute.
Yeah, yeah. Again, like, it's a recurring thing that there's, like, blue robes with these, like, sort of runic-looking designs on them. Also, like, just based on the build and the body language, do you think this is a female character seen from behind?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Do you think also that, like, the hoods and everything, that's because they expect you to do stealth? Because I imagine, like, the stealth thing's probably going to depend on the weight of the armor that you're wearing. Because it would be hard to sneak around even if the armor was light. Because presumably, like, it would still limit your flexibility. It would, like, make noise. Whereas this character here, they are dressed like they are stealth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're bringing up a lot of interesting points today, Sophie.
Thank you, Sin. I noticed a lot in the last couple of days that we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that we've been talking for this long and we're only at the first character.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
So the next outfit is again from the website. And it's giving me, like, an Uncharted feel.
The outfit or the actual thing we're looking at?
Like, everything altogether, including the outfit.
Does the guy from Uncharted wear, like, medieval armor? John Uncharted? Do you want to know something about this area?
Yeah?
I was talking to some people in the Dark Souls 3 data mining groups, and they said that those egg things are unused Dark Souls 3 assets.
That's super interesting. When I first saw the screenshot, I thought of Demon's Souls. Remember that area with the shells or the spiders or whatever?
Where the bugs are, yeah.
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 And then I also thought of the creepy little cave when you start in Ashes of Randell.
Yeah, yeah.
But also in Bloodborne, there's this cut thing, I think they were called Screamers, that looked like the thing from Alien.
Yeah, they were the old version of the Wandering Nightmares.
Mm-hmm. So I kind of had, like, all these things when I saw this, so it's really interesting what you said.
Yeah, what's the lore of the ants?
Kingsfield shared universe confirmed.
Yeah, because, I mean, Kingsfield's got the termites.
Mm-mm. I actually really like the look of the ants with the white and the red, and maybe some gold in between.
All gold? Are the ants blessed by the gods?
Well, they might be. Well, I don't know, because you see they have this fat part?
Yeah.
What if there's the golden blessing in that part or whatever?
But, like, that's not out of the question. Because you look at, like, the leeches in Dark Souls, like, they drop Titanite. Like, the rats in Dark Souls, they drop humanity because they've been eating humans.
Mm-hmm.
They've been feeding on the corpses, so they have this, like, condensed humanity in them.
What if the ants have been feeding on gods?
That's what I was thinking.
Oh. This game just got so good.
Wouldn't that be awesome if you went down there's just, like, a giant, like, god head half buried in the ground with holes in it and ants coming in and out of, like, the eye sockets?
That's what I was thinking of as well. Like, you find this giant god that's, you know, dead.
Yeah.
And all these ants feeding on their flesh.
Yeah. Or, to make it worse, they're not dead and there's ants feeding on the flesh.
Oh, Sophie!
That's actually a Norse thing. The world is made out of the corpse of a giant. And the dwarves are born from the maggots that are feeding on the corpse.
Really interesting. Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, Sin.
So the next outfit is...
not much. It's a piece of string.
It's the Quinkiller look.
Yeah. Do you think this is the player character at the very start of the game?
Yeah, that's what I think. So you know how earlier we were talking about the lore?
Yeah.
And the Tarnished were going to receive the blessing or something?
Yeah, yeah.
And this hand has golden stuff on it?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe this is either a god or maybe Marika herself sort of finding a Tarnished that's worthy and being like, okay, come here, fix the lords.
That's something that, like, the prologue's just like, the gods fucked up and now they're a Tarnished here.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me feel like, okay, the gods fucked up, so they're like, we have to find other people. You.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just randomly start plucking you.
Yeah, yeah.
Other thing about this hand.
Mm-hmm.
It only has three fingers.
Yeah.
But then later on, there's that massive severed crawling hand that has like 8.
Yeah.
So like hands and fingers and stuff are like apparently very important.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting looking hand. Like, it has a lot of curves and indentations.
Yeah.
Makes me think maybe there's an eye in the hand. I don't know.
Yeah.
And the next screenshot is the iconic reading screenshot.
The iconic I dropped a contact lens on the table screenshot.
Yeah, and it's hard to say what the helm actually looks like, because it looks like elongated or something, but it could be the angle?
Do you think this is a player, or do you think this is an NPC who's like a scholar?
Oh, that's a good point.
I think it might be an NPC, because the idea of like the sort of reclusive scholar is something Miyazaki seems to be drawn to a lot in the stories he does. So you have like Seath is one, like he's sitting around in his archive sort of going mad, and then you've got like Willem in Bergenworth, like reading all the books, Mikalash, early Mikalash especially, the one they didn't end up using, but like he's sort of going mad from the knowledge he finds there. Not strictly Miyazaki, but like Aldia from Dark Souls 2. In Sekiro, the last kind of like half the game, Kuro and Emma are mostly just reading books in a library trying to figure out what to do next. So I feel like this might be an NPC rather than your character. Unless, oh god, imagine if there's notes, right? Like in Bloodborne.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that animation every time you read one.
That would be pretty cute. And their gloves are different colors?
Are they, or is that just shadow? Because they're next to a candle.
I'm not sure.
Like, to be fair, this does look like something like a wandering adventurer would wear.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about it being a scholar, like it could be someone who's sort of traveling the world looking for knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
This might even be like a king who is like going mad trying to like find the secret of the Elden Ring. Because the helmet does look like a crown.
Speaking of the helmet, some people compared this look to Skull Knight from Berserk.
He has a sort of, like, crown thing.
Mm-hmm.
Skull Knight has a skull for a head, though. Like, I think... When I look at this, I don't really think Skull Knight, because there's not a skull. Like, Skull Knight has sort of, like, a, like, spiky sort of crown things, but, like, in all other respects, this is not a Skull Knight.
Well, wait, we don't know, because we don't actually see what's in the front. Maybe it's just the skull.
Maybe this is what Skull Knight looked like before he was Skull Knight.
Thank you, Sophie. And the next one is the outfit we see the player character wear when they're interacting with the stag. And this outfit is reminiscent of a screenshot we find on the website. And when I first saw these two things, I was like, this reminds me a lot of Griffith from Berserk, because he wears this like rounded helmet.
Yeah, the Hawk helmet.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh no, I'm just looking too deeply into it. But then Glass Shark and Luna had the same idea.
Wow.
So I think this might be a Berserk reference.
Also, like, interesting that in the screenshot below, the character wearing that set is like the enemy. Like, they're attacking the player. So presumably you get the set from them.
Yeah, that's a good observation.
The other thing, like, about that, the one who's fighting the stag is that, like, they have claws on, and it's very, very light armor, which makes me think, again, this is a build that's emphasizing stealth.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly didn't work, because the giant stag noticed them, but...
Well, you don't know if they noticed us.
That's true. If you want to go Celtic again, this is very, like, Wild Hunt.
Okay, how so?
So the stag makes me think of the Wild Hunt. The Wild Hunt is something that, again, like a lot of the stuff we've talked about in Elden Ring, it's something that is in Norse mythology, it's also in Celtic mythology. So it's like Elden Ring is sort of borrowing from like a series of traditions there. The Wild Hunt, it's something that like it sort of varies depending on which version you read, but basically the idea is that on certain nights there is like a sort of a hunting party that appears in the sky and like rides across it, like a hunting god, and like this, the like ghost hounds will sort of like run across the sky hunting things. So that's sort of what it made me think of, the idea of like the sort of the spectral animals appearing in the air.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it is literally supposed to be like a wild hunt allegory, because if you look at it, like, it's surrounded by little tiny babies.
Yeah, little tiny stag babies.
Little stag babies. So it's not really something that, it's not like a hunting thing. What it actually made me think of initially was Lady Butterfly in Sekiro. Because when you fight her, she summons a whole lot of little ghost children. So I'm wondering if this is a similar thing, where like this boss is the stag, and then throughout the fight it is spawning little ghost stags to sort of like mess with you while you're fighting it.
But maybe it's not a boss.
It might not be.
It's like, oh my god, I'm so happy to see you.
You have to meet the kids. Like, kids, we're going to Uncle Miyazaki's arm stand. It's like, oh, no. Bring the family!
So now, oh my god, we just... So he's gonna kill me. We just finished the first part of the what question.
Do you want to say what the time says on the recording?
I don't know.
It says 1 hour 54 minutes 32 seconds.
So the rest I think will go fast, because this had like 500 screenshots. So let's go through the rest of the outline quicker than what we did before.
Certainly.
What items do you think they have?
We know they have a ring, presumably.
Yeah, Shanalotalot's ring.
Shanalotalot gives it to them.
Mm-hmm.
They have a cube. Yeah. One of the questions you've got here about the player character is, what is their name?
Before we proceed to the name, if you scroll down on the next page...
Yes.
The second picture, you see the characters kneeling and there's some sparks next to their hand. I put a circle around it.
Is that the golden energy though?
I don't know what it is. I wanted your opinion on it.
I think what's going to happen is the golden energy is like, that's the god power that comes from the Elden Ring. And I think what's going to happen is, as we defeat the lords and take fragments of the ring, the great runes, the great runes will probably give us abilities, and that's what the gold is.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole point is, like, if you're tarnished, you don't have the golden blessing. So presumably we get more, like, golden blessing powers the more of the great runes we get.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
And this just in, Sophie. Luna just posted this on Discord. A new screenshot.
Oh.
It's a crystal cave.
Yep. It's a crystal cave.
Awesome. Okay. And it's the Uncharted outfit we talked about before.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Sophie. So one last thing about the weapons. When the lightsaber comes out, there's this beautiful floral motif around it that appears.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool.
That's almost certainly going to be like some in-universe rune thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. One last question in the what category. What is their name?
The Tarnished.
You see, that question wasn't that stupid. Thank you, Sophie. So now let's move on to where. And I think the important question from where is, where do they come from?
Somewhere across the Sea of Fog, or the Foggy Sea, depending on whose version you're reading.
Thank you, Sophie.
So what if instead of classes, it's the god that you're the descendant of, and your character takes on the traits of that god? So like, if you think about like, okay, in Dark Souls, like you're a cleric, but in this you might be a descendant of the god that was particularly like holy and associated with healing, or like you're the descendant of the trickster god, so that makes you the thief. You're the descendant of the warrior god, that makes you the barbarian. Like, that would be an interesting way of doing it.
Yeah, that would be super cool.
And that might also affect, like, the starting gear, because the gear seems to have, like, design motifs on it. It's like, maybe if you start with that god, you get, like, you get something with their, like, rune on it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That would be really neat. It can be like, today I want to be Loki, tomorrow I'm Thor, after tomorrow I'm Captain America.
Yeah, you ran out of gods that you know. You only know gods that have appeared in Marvel.
Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, Sam.
And now let's answer why. Why are we here?
The Tarnished is the blessing of the Thing.
Thank you, Sophie. Now let's move on to the second character, Chanelotalot. So please describe what she looks like.
Chanelotalot looks like she is a soft-spoken, quite slight lady. Mm-hmm. And most of her is covered in a robe. Mm-hmm. And I think the robe is interesting because there's like three possible explanations why she might be in a robe. Mm-hmm. First one is that it's just her traveling outfit because she's walking around this dangerous place. She's trying to keep safe. She's got a big robe on. Second one, she's trying to hide who she is. She's trying to go incognito because she's somewhat important. She might be like one of the demigods. For all you know, she's Queen Marika. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So if she is hiding her face, that makes me think of the unused story they had for the Emerald Herald in Dark Souls 2. Because in that, you would meet in the past a little girl who had one blue eye and one green eye. And then in the future, you meet the Emerald Herald and she's got her hair over one of her eyes.
Right.
And then at a certain point in the story, she would have pulled the hair back and you would have seen, oh, okay, she's got the green eye and the blue eye. She's the girl I met.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of the third thing. We talked about the gods having different physical traits that mark them out. It's possible she has one of those, and that's why she's covering herself, and it could be, like I said, so she's not recognized. It could also be that, like, maybe she's not hiding, but she just doesn't want you to see. Or maybe, like, her body is, like, shattering and falling apart, just want to show you. She might have, like, the Great Rune or something, like, drawn on her flesh or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those are all very good points. Thank you, Sophie. Fuck! Why did you scare me?
I am reading your notes and it just says, like, she's also Boots. And Boots is capitalized. It's like Sinclair Law. Important Dark Souls podcast. She's also Boots. You also misspell belt and like. She wearing a great cloak and a simple bedjet and white dress and some leg strings in front and a bit.
It was very late when I wrote these notes, okay?
It's very late for me too.
And we don't know about any weapons that she may or may not have. We didn't really see her emit any magic, gold or otherwise.
Well, she seems to bring us back to life.
Well, we didn't see her do it. Maybe it's the ring that does it.
Maybe it's the horse that does it.
Maybe it's the horse who's narrating the entire trailer.
That would be great. The horse just narrates the game as you play it. It's like Vampire Hunter D's hand.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah.
You'll be impressed, Sophie. I saw both Vampire Hunter D movies.
Hi, Sophie here. Sin is conspicuously emphasizing the fact she's seen a Vampire Hunter D movie in front of me because I am, in her words, an anime professional. This is a euphemism for someone who used to live within walking distance of a place that sold bootleg Asian movies. This means that while I haven't seen Paranoia Agent, Cowboy Bebop or Gurren Lagann. I have seen the anime adaptation of the Mila Jovovich film Ultraviolet, which most people don't know exists. The Perfect Storm of Bootleg Anime, Things No One's Heard Of, and Mila Jovovich means that Sin and I will almost certainly cover this in the near future. Back to the podcast.
And where do you think she comes from?
The lands in between.
Thank you, Sophie. So now, let's move on to the next character. And I call her the Pretty Princess because she has a pretty crown on her head.
This is the last character I had in mind when you said Pretty Princess.
Could you please describe the Pretty Princess?
The Pretty Princess is a whole lot of people stuck together in a giant centipede shape similar to the human centipede, which, if you haven't heard of it, was a, like, deliberately controversial body horror film from quite some time ago that has been, some would say, deservedly forgotten at this point, but was very, very popular for about a month. So it's a human centipede, and they have around their sort of neck and shoulders, they have like a shawl on that's covering most of their like neck and shoulders, and it looks just like rags. It doesn't look particularly like ornate or anything. They have a crown on, hence the Pretty Princess title, and they have a face that, like, we were talking about this before, and we are not sure if that is actually the face or that is a mask.
Yeah, the more I look at it, the more I tend to think it's a mask.
Yeah, because I think, like, the whole point of, like, wrapping yourself in that and having that mask on is to hide what you look like. They keep bringing up this notion that, like, okay, people want to come and they want to be a lord. So I wonder if, like, this is someone, or maybe several people stuck together, like, whatever, who's, like, adopting the affectations of a lord who's no longer there. Because we also see, like, there's the character that has the giant dad head on. Presumably that is the head of, like, supposed to be someone, and he's, like, being that person, like, symbolically. And because it's all these demigods and stuff, like, is this someone who's playing at being one of them, who has the affectation of being one but is actually a monster and is sort of trying to, like, sort of hide that fact by showing you this, like, the mask and the crown and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, the arms that are grafted to them, like, that seems to be what people do in Elden Ring if they want power.
Yeah,
so this, presumably this is someone who wants to become powerful, who wants to become a lord, and what they're wearing is an extension of that. Notably, when this character gets damaged in the trailer, they bleed red, like they bleed blood. But at the same time, there is this like golden sort of discharge from where the attack hits them.
Mm-hmm.
So they must have that like gold power in them.
Yeah, because they do have something golden looking around their torso.
It looks almost like the Estus flask effect, where you get that little sort of like glow when you use it. It looks like they're doing that. And I'm almost wondering if, like, is that power held in the arms? And that's why they're doing it.
Oh, that's a good one.
Like, is the power of the rune something, is that in your hand? Which might even explain, like, why our character does this weird stuff with weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Is, like, the rune in your hand doing that thing to the weapon?
Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, Sid. Hi, Sophie here. At this point in the recording, something went horribly wrong and we had to start a new file. Was Zencaster trying to tell us something? You be the judge. We now continue with What, Where, Why, Things That Were in the Elden Ring Trailer.
Do you think this is a boss or an enemy character we'll see around often?
It might be like something like the Deep Accursed in Dark Souls 3, where it's just like a very tough one-time spawn. Because they seem to be playing it up, and like the design and everything makes me think it's supposed to be like a unique kind of deal with the crown and everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you look behind them, like there's like a pile of bodies. Do you think that the deep accursed in Dark Souls with them experimenting with different arms.
Oh my god, now that you bring it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, does seem like it. Awesome, thank you, Sophie. And the next character is Emil from Nier Automata.
Oh, okay. I thought this was going to be the pot.
No.
No?
No. Because look, if you zoom in on the little guy, it kind of looks like they have a round head. Or maybe they're wearing the same headgear as in the previous Griffith picture?
It looks like headgear. It looks like they have like a helmet on over okay. their body and like a sort of... Like there's something over their shoulders, like a little cloak.
And I think it's just because the picture is blurry. It looks like they have a giant fist or a head.
Well, that fits with Elden Ring. Having a hand for a head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Sophie, could you please describe the character we're looking at?
It's hard to say how big they are because we don't really have anything to give a sense of relative scale.
That's true.
It is a squat, we'll say, solidly built humanoid who is hunched over forward. They have a weird round head sort of helmet, like we talked about before. They are wearing some sort of cloak over that. Actually, it looks like the potato sack dress. They're wearing a potato sack dress.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, and they're carrying a sort of catch pole. And of course, in the sky, like, you can see the rays of the Erd tree, and there's like dragons flying around. We assume they're dragons.
Or maybe it's crows?
Well, this is the thing. Like, it's really hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. And I actually really love this picture because to me, it looks like they're hanging out, admiring the tree, and they're enjoying the river, they're enjoying the scenery. Yeah. It's just a very cute picture.
It looks like the little waterway in Irithyll.
Yeah.
But prettier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you have any lore that you can extrapolate from this picture?
I am wondering if it is the same place as the sort of Anor Londo-looking cathedral that they show off.
That's right, yeah.
Because it has those spires in it. But, like, the spires don't totally match, so I'm not sure if it's the same place. There's also that character we see who, when you were talking about the Griffith helmet... I'm wondering if, like, this is the same as that. Because, like, basically they seem to be dressed the same. And if that's true, then I think in the Griffith helmet picture you can see blue out the window.
You can kind of see blue out the window. You do see something pointy out the window.
Yeah, because outside the window, right, you can actually see there's, like, a spire that's, like, falling into the ground. If you look at where the... little guy is, you can see the same kind of spires in the background that are also collapsed in the same way. So what I think's going on is, like, the exterior of the Anor Londo looking cathedral, which it's not Anor Londo. I know it doesn't look exactly like Anor Londo, and it's actually a slightly different architectural style to Anor Londo, and I know this because there's a very, very angry Reddit thread in response to people who said it looked like Anor Londo. And it's true, I understand, that if you know all about, like, the architecture of cathedrals, they are different. To people who play Dark Souls, it's the place that looks like Anor Londo, in the same way that Irithyll is the place that looks like Anor Londo, all right? So, that place, the waterway where Emil is, that looks like that is the exterior. And then where the big... like the guy with the helmet and the morning star is, and I also think where the procession led by the giant dad head guy are, I think that's the inside.
Okay.
I think the blue sort of aura you see around that place is sort of interesting because everywhere else we see is kind of illuminated by the Erd tree, and it bathes it in this golden light, and we see nighttime shots, but they just look like the night. They don't have that blue glow to them. It doesn't look like moonlight. So I'm wondering if, like, there's something specific about the blue, because they make a point about the blessing of gold. So is, like, is the blue somehow, like, is that them pushing back the blessing of gold? Because, like, remember also that there's the Onmyoji looking guy in the leaked trailer who literally summons a blue moon. So I'm wondering if, like, is that similar to, like, Dark Anor Londo? like it's actually this unnatural sort of light that is permeating it.
And do you think this is an enemy, an NPC, a friendly, a boss?
I think it's safe to say it's an enemy.
Oh.
Because it's guarding an area and it has a, like, man catcher.
But it's so cute.
Do you think this is going to be the torture level?
The torture level?
Yeah.
What's that?
Like a prison where people are tortured, like Latria, or...
The screenshot of the guy in the Griffith helmet does give off that vibe.
Also, like, the little guy kind of looks like Moskus's torturers from Berserk.
Thank you, Sophie. And last but not least, Scorpion Tart. Get it?
I actually don't.
It's because they're Scorpion Tark?
Yeah.
But we're the snack continent.
Oh, okay. Okay, so tart has a very different meaning if you're from, like, the Anglosphere, so I was not really picturing this guy when you said tart.
Oh, I was just picturing, like, dessert.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Sophie?
Yes, Sin?
Tell us what this character looks like.
This is interesting because he was saying, like, oh, the character has a scorpion tail, hence their name, Scorpion Tart.
That we made up.
Yes. But they seem to be from the kingdom where the guy with the dragon head hand is. Like, that seems to be the castle they're outside. And one of the things I was saying about that kingdom is it looks like they're at war with the dragons. Because you see what seems to be their banner near the volcano where the dragons are? And, like, the guy has the dragon head on his hand, so presumably he killed a dragon and stuck that on. And when you see what's presumably, like, his intro cutscene, when he's, like, he, like, runs his hand down something that looks like part of a dragon, I think that might be, like, a dragon corpse, something that he's killed. So when we say this guy has a scorpion tail, is it actually a dragon tail? Like, do dragons in Elden Ring have, like, venomous sting tails? And has he cut the tail off a dragon and stuck it to himself? That might also explain his very weird head. Because he kind of looks like the Grooves from Dark Souls 3, where the head is just a mass of, like, horns and weird sort of tooth things. So I'm wondering if, like, is that sort of some weird corruption thing, or is he, like, also sticking, like, dragon teeth to his head to give himself horns?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sophie. And they're the character that summons a weapon.
Yeah, yeah. They summon two, I think. They summon, like, a hammer, and they also seem to summon a little throwing dagger.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they must have the blessing.
Mm. Interestingly, like, the king of that area, we assume is the king, the very buff Lothric made of arms. His weapon is a hammer, but it's a physical hammer.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if, like, that hammer is important to that kingdom, and that's why he can summon, like, an illusory hammer.
Hmm.
He's, like, summoning a fraction of the strength of the real hammer, or something like that.
And do you think this is a boss, a recurring character?
Do I think it's a boss? It has a fog wall.
It has a fog wall. They also have some sort of a staff.
Yeah, it's like a weird gnarled piece of, I want to say wood, but it might be bone.
Because
for all you know, like, that's like a dragon bone.
Is there anything else you want to add about them?
They're really hairy.
Oh, yeah?
They almost look like a Yharnamite, like just, or like the chained ogre. They're just covered in hair.
Oh, I didn't notice. You're right.
Because this is the thing, because they talk about, like they're sort of going mad and corrupting themselves. And so it's hard to tell if, like, the traits that this guy has are a result of him sticking bits of dragon on himself. Or if it's, like, that's the sort of taint, like he's sort of turning into a beast person. Because he's basically got fur, and then he's got, like, this weird, like, horned tooth head.
Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, Sin.
While we were talking, there are new interviews that have been released.
Oh, okay. Hot off the presses.
Yeah, so I'm going to read their post, and it says, 6 major areas that function as distinct...
Oh.
What happened?
No, we were right, because remember we said, like, there's 6 interlocking rings.
So if you know loud noises scare me.
Okay, so remember we said, like, in the first one we did, we said, like, the design has 6 interlocking rings, so there's probably 6 areas.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. Ruled by demigod characters.
Yeah.
Hey, Google, stop. It's recording me again. Okay. Hub confirmed.
Yeah.
Catacombs, castle, fortresses, mini dungeons, etc.
Yeah. I like how it's like catacombs and dungeons, castles and fortresses. Well, the list can't have 2 things in it. Get this thesaurus. Beware, they're strong and powerful.
Thank you, Sophie. And they're confident that Elden Ring will arrive on its release date.
Like, they have to specify that. Doesn't make it sound very confident. That's like me talking to a dissertation committee. I'm sure it will.
It's because they heard that I predicted the release date to be in March. They got worried.
I'm starting to think it will now, because Bloodborne was supposed to be January and it got pushed to March.
Character creator.
Yeah.
Multiple endings.
Uh-huh.
Much higher degree of freedom than before.
Yeah.
Optional bosses.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Tart is an optional boss.
I'd say he's completely mandatory because he's literally in front of the castle that half the fucking trailer is set in. So I think you're going to have to deal with Tart.
Darn it. Spirits can be collected and equipped. Different types of spirits. Spirits can be improved, apparently.
Say what a spirit is.
Summons?
Oh, okay. Yeah, there we go.
Multiplayer support during exploration on open fields.
Oh, that's really good, actually.
Yeah.
Because I was worried it would just be, like, in boss arenas.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Fall damage is low to keep explorers motivated.
Yeah.
There is a world map.
Blocked and reported.
The actual dungeons do not have a map.
Right.
Crafting system with materials.
Yeah.
Miyazaki guesses playtime is maybe at 30 hours without too many side trips. That's a weird number, 30 hours, when they're like, it's going to be the most open one ever.
He says 30 hours with no side trips. So presumably, like, if you did the full thing, it might be like 60.
But I'm only in, like, the third area in Dark Souls 2, and yeah. I'm already, like, 500 hours in.
We know why that is, though. Because you're trying to despawn every single enemy in the game.
Yeah. Thank you, Sophie.
For reference, the character I made to co-op with you is at the end game and it's been 10 hours.
Thank you, Sophie. Asynchronous multiplayer elements return. You can apparently set up groups. Hmm.
Okay.
And you can give their messages / dead bodies higher priority. No limit on group size.
Snack Covenant Clan, go.
Oh!
Literal Snack Covenant.
Oh my god, yeah. Oh my god, maybe this is our time. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Luna.
Thank you.
I also saw this link. So since we have been recording for close to 3 hours, we're going to go through this PC Gamer article quickly.
Okay. These spirits we were talking about, the summons, they are apparently enemies that you kill. So, like, you defeat an enemy and then you get the ability to summon it as a friendly NPC, which sounds really cool. That would explain the screenshots that show you with what kind of looks like the Dancer of the Boreal Valley as a summon. And like I was saying, that sounds like it'll be good if you are mostly into offline stuff, because you'll be able to build your little collection of monsters. It says there are online summons, yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could have revealed that to you before we knew anything about the game. But no, that's confirmed. Player character is a blank slate. Interesting, Miyazaki says in comparison to the previous Souls games, they're more of a blank slate, which is kind of... That's very interesting, because the Dark Souls characters, they're very, like, blank.
So maybe, you know how earlier we talked about character creation?
Yeah.
Maybe there's nothing.
There's no character creator. It's just a blank void with your face here written on it. So you can truly project yourself into the world of Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Okay, so six main areas, which like fits with what we said, because there are six rings in the Elden Ring. The character in the trailer is apparently called the Arm King.
Which character?
Which one do you think? Think about everyone we saw in the trailer. Who do you think is the King of Arms?
I hate you. I think it's so mean.
It says you have the freedom by which to reach the different areas. Mm-hmm. So it sort of makes me think, like, if you look at the way the map is laid out from what we've seen, it's like the Erd Tree is the middle and then you had paths radiating off it. But the paths, like, they clearly used to go all the way, but they are, like, they're fractured and they don't work anymore. So presumably the idea is, like, you can't take the bridge, you have to go underneath it and figure out a new way of getting there. So it's, like, six areas, but they're all kind of linked together. And it says, like, each area houses a traditional dungeon, which I guess means there's one area and then one dungeon each, so that'd be, like, 12 total? The stealth seems like the stealth from Sekiro, that includes the backstabs. They talk about there being different kinds of mimic. Just says, like, you probably won't find mimics in the same form, it's a different world, and we will surprise you, so...
Mimic pots.
That might be what they are. Like, you're rolling into pots and then one gets up and attacks you.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. The resurrection mechanic is apparently different to the resurrection of the Souls games, but he doesn't specify. He says it's of a similar kind of breed.
Mm-hmm.
That might be sort of what we were talking about before, about, like, the shattering. Maybe, like, the more you resurrect, the more gold energy you use up, so the more people shatter. Similar to Dragon Rock.
Mm-hmm.
There is a hub similar to Firelink.
Mm-hmm.
It says, like, sits near the center of the map. The six areas branch off from it. Guessing the hub is the Erd Tree. More to find than the six main dungeons. There is fast travel. There's 100 skills in total for your characters to equip. They say it's very similar to the weapon arts from Dark Souls 3, which is, like, basically what we were suggesting before. Every character can use magic. Oh yeah, okay, it says here, like, the journey will become much longer. So a long journey to me is, like, that makes me wonder if there is fast travel to the same extent as the other Souls games, because to me, like, fast travel and a long journey together sort of cancel each other out. Stamina is less important. Lots of item descriptions, retaining the player, discovering things for themselves. And that seems to be it.
So classic lore confirmed.
Yeah.
Sophie, do the outro.
That was the Snack Oven in episode 252, What, Where, Why, Elden Ring, aka Elden Ring Trailer Analysis and News Part 2.
Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, Sin.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. And see y'all next time.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, it's Hidetaka Miyazaki here. The Golden Order has been broken. Rise, tarnished, and be guided by grace to brandish the power of the Elden Ring and become an Elden Lord in the Lands Between. In the Lands Between, ruled by Queen Marika the Eternal, the Elden Ring, the source of the Erd Tree, has been shattered. Marika's offspring, Demigod Zol, claimed the shards of the Elden Ring, known as the Great Runes, and the mad taint of their newfound strength triggered a war, the Shattering. A war that meant abandonment by the greater will. And now the guidance of grace will be brought to the Tarnished, who was spurned by the grace of gold and exiled from the Lands Between. Ye dead who yet live, ye grace long lost, follow the path to the Lands Between, beyond the foggy sea, and stand before the Elden Ring, and become an Elden Lord.